right. He is risen. Ah, there we go. I didn't get a chance to do that this morning, so I wanted to do that. What a great morning, as I said. Easter morning, right? What an incredible morning it's already been as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as his followers, we've been given a commission, haven't we? Those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ, we've been given a commission. And here at First Baptist Church, we are reminded over and over and over again of the need, of the command, really, to share the gospel. To share the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ with those who have no hope. Right? That's what he's called us to do. To share the good news that there is hope. To share that with those who are in spiritual bondage to sin and to death. But when we share the gospel, and here's the question today. When we share the gospel with somebody, are we sharing the full story? Are we sharing the full story of the gospel? You know, one of Satan's strategies is to inoculate people. Satan likes to inoculate people. He likes to give them just enough of the truth so that they think they got it all figured out. Right? Got it all figured out. Somehow they think they're acceptable to God. They're pleasing to God because they know this little bit of truth. When in reality, they're not. Right? They're in a wicked, sinful, depraved condition. And a condition that if it is not changed, it will end in the eternal destruction of their soul. And as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, when I share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ with these people, am I sharing the complete story? Well, as Christians today, we need to listen to this message. Okay, we need to listen to it because this could be the step that takes our witnessing, our sharing about Christ to the next level. Okay, and if you're listening to this message today and you're not 100% sure that you are a Christian, that if you were to die right now, you'd be immediately in the presence of Almighty God. If you're not sure about that, you need to listen very carefully too. Because how you respond to today's message may determine your eternal destiny. Okay. Now again, we come to this church every week. Each and every week, knowing that the number one priority on God's heart is the salvation of the lost, right? Those who are dead in their sins, knowing that Jesus Christ's whole reason for leaving his throne in glory to enter his creation, to take on weak, frail human flesh, his whole purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. That's found in Luke 19:10. And knowing that, we, here at First Baptist, we are constantly being encouraged to share the good news, right? The good news that in God's great love and his amazing grace, he purchased sinful man. He paid the ransom for man's sin with the infinitely precious and valuable blood of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Almighty God, think about this, folks. Almighty God allowed his Son to be beaten, to be tortured to death on a cross so that you and I could live. He paid the price for our sin. Isn't that amazing? We stop and think about that. Folks, that's the gospel, right? That's the good news that we share with people. But what about the rest of the story, right? What about the rest of the story? You see, that's not the whole gospel, is it? There's more to it. As a matter of fact, if we stop there, we're leaving out the best part. We're leaving out the part that people need to hear in order to be eternally saved. You know, I ran across a story about what's called the Stations of the Cross. You ever heard of that? Stations of the Cross. Well, this particular one supposedly is located in on a mountain in Italy. And the people would come from all over to walk up this mountain past these stations of the cross to stand at an outdoor crucifix. And the story goes that one tourist noticed a little trail that went beyond the cross. It went beyond it. So he fought through the rough thicket, and to his surprise, he came upon another shrine, a shrine that symbolized an empty tomb, but it had been neglected, right? the brush had grown up around it. And the point of the story is that almost everyone had gone as far as the cross, but that's where they stopped. That's where they stopped. Now, whether the story is true or not, I don't know. But it is very true of people today. Many people see the cross of Jesus Christ, knowing the pain, the sorrow, the despair, the love, the sacrifice that it represents, but very few go beyond that to find the real message of Easter, the real message of the gospel, right? Every Christmas, we're amazed at the fact that Jesus, God the Son, would actually leave his throne in glory, right, to come to earth. And then on Good Friday, we're amazed at the fact that he would actually lay down his life to pay the penalty for our sins. But what must not be lost or neglected or forgotten is what we're celebrating today. And it's something that we should be celebrating each and every day. Something we should be sharing every time we talk to others about Jesus Christ. Right? That is the resurrection of Christ. Anybody can die. Right? Anybody can die. But only one can conquer death. Which, by the way, is what guarantees the true child of God eternal life, right? I mean, folks, think about this. Jesus' virgin birth, that's important to the message of the gospel. That's important. His death is important to the message of the gospel, but his resurrection is the climax. That's the highest point of the gospel, right? And to not share this truth with those we're witnessing to, that's to do a great disservice to the Lord. You see, if Jesus had just come to earth and had just died, he'd be no different than any other religious teacher, right? He'd just be another Buddha or a Muhammad. But he didn't just die. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered death, right? Proving that he is much, much more than just some religious teacher. He's Almighty God. Jesus Christ is Almighty God himself, the only one in whom salvation can be found. And, you know, the song that we sang earlier, I just wrote this down here, the song, He Lives, right? Love that song. We love to sing it first thing Easter morning. But the lyrics, first verse in the chorus, I love it. I'm just read it. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer in just the time I need him. He's always near, right? And the chorus says, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives with my heart, right? What an awesome verse and chorus. What awesome song that is. And every other religion, think about this, every other religion worships a dead leader, just a mere man. But as Christians, we worship the one true living God of the universe, right? And he has defeated once and for all man's greatest enemy, death. Death couldn't hold our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the grave, no way. You know, we just mentioned about how we celebrate Christmas, right? We celebrate Jesus coming to earth at Christmas, but that event was just a moment. That was a moment in time, wasn't it? We mentioned how on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sin. That also was a moment in time. But when we talk about Jesus' resurrection, we talk about his resurrection, we say that he is risen, right? He was born, he was crucified, but he is risen. In other words, he is alive today. Right now, this very moment, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is alive. Right? And that changes everything, or at least it should change everything in our lives. As true followers of Christ, that fact should change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, the way we live. Now today I'd like us to look at four things in the resurrection. Four things in the resurrection. And the first thing is love. There's love in the resurrection. 1 John 4:9, if you want to write that down there, and I would encourage you, go home, look some of these verses up. But 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. Okay? This is how he shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, when we look at the cross, we see God's incredible, amazing love, don't we? We should. It's a love that was revealed in an excruciatingly painful way. And in the cross, we see that God loves us to an infinite degree. Think about that. He loves us to an infinite degree. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, through Jesus and his death on the cross, the Father has shown us the extent of his great love. You know how much he loves you? Look at the cross, right? But it doesn't end there. See, God's incredible love not only sent Jesus to the cross, it also raised him back to life. Jesus wasn't left in the tomb. No, God's love raised him back to life so that we might live through him, right? And we wouldn't have the hope, or the guarantee of eternal life if Jesus, who is God, if he had not conquered death. And that's the message that we need to convey to people when we share the good news, the gospel, right? Now, God's love, seen in the resurrection, it's not just expressed for us. But the love that's in that resurrection is also expressed in and through us, right? 1 John 3:14, if you want to write that down. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life. In other words, we know we're saved. Because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. You know, as Christians, we have a responsibility, don't we? We have a responsibility as Christians to love each other. The love of God, which is seen in the resurrection, that should permeate our lives, our whole life. And again, everything we think, everything we say, everything that we do should be filtered through the love of God, or it should be characterized by the love of God, right? God's love needs to be the foundation of all of our interactions, our relationships. And that's what the resurrection has called us to do, to love, right? That's what the Lord Jesus, the risen Savior, the God himself has commanded us to do, love each other. You know, to be loved is probably the greatest desire of man's heart. And God showed beyond a shadow of a doubt his love for us when he sent his one and only Son to live a sinless life, qualifying him, proving that he is God and the only one qualified to be the mediator between holy God and sinful man. He's the only one qualified to die for our sin. But he also raised him. So that those who by faith alone willingly surrender their heart and life to Christ, they can have the guarantee, the 100% guarantee of knowing him and spending eternity in his glorious presence. And that is the love of the resurrection, right? Okay, the second thing that we see, that there's life in the resurrection. Turn to Romans chapter 6, if you will. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. If you've got your Bibles out, Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. Romans 6, 4 and 5 says this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. You know, this past week, we had a memorial service for a dear sister in Christ, Dorothy Jacobs. And it was a celebration of life. And the fact that she was a true child of God, that was comforting to all who know her and love her. But what would that service have been like if Jesus had not been raised from the dead? Right? If he were still in the grave, what would it be like to stand there at the time of death not knowing if there's anything beyond the grave. I mean, can you just imagine the hopelessness, the pain, the sorrow, the despair? Well, guess what? As Christians, we don't have to imagine that. Because there is life beyond the grave. There is victory, all because Jesus conquered death and he rose from the grave. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You know, at the moment a person genuinely repents, right? They turn from their sin, their life of sin and selfishness, and they turn to Christ and surrender wholeheartedly to him. The moment they repent and by faith place their trust in Christ, they are resurrected spiritually. Right? They're a new creation. They're born again, John 3:3 says. They're born of the Spirit, John 3:6 says. They've experienced the resurrection unto life. So let me ask you this today. And I hope you'll seriously examine this question and examine your heart. But let me ask you this. Have you passed from death unto life? 1 John 3:14. Does that describe you? You know, God freely offers to man the opportunity to be united with Jesus in the life that comes right through the resurrection. In other words, Jesus Christ is alive today, and according to his eternal promise, he is offering to you and to me the gift of everlasting life. But the question is, knowing that he will not force it upon you, how are you going to respond to that offer? Are you going to finally admit your sin, admit that you need somebody to save you, you need a Savior, and are you going to turn from sinful, selfish living for self, and commit your life wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ? Are you going to finally do that so you can be guaranteed eternal life? And for the Christian today, what a message of love and life the resurrection is. A message that, again, we need to be sharing every time we talk to people about him. Okay? The third thing that we see in the resurrection is hope. There's hope in the resurrection. Right? There's hope. Hope is very important to the individual soul, isn't it? Hope is very important. It can give you the strength to press on when things get tough. It can deliver you from despair. The lack of hope can be devastating and even fatal. Right? I saw a story from Charles Swindoll. He talks about a book that he had read called Adrift. And I'm going to quote here, read the story. It says, it was a story of a man who built a vessel that was to sail him through the whole of the Atlantic, sort of a large loop. He hit bad weather and his vessel went down. He existed on a raft almost 80 days. The thing that kept the man alive was hope. His lowest days were the days when he could see no hope. He could not see the possibility of being rescued or making it to the islands or coming into the shipping lanes and being found by one of those vast vessels on its way to the trade routes. His hope kept him alive. Someone has said, we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. And how true that is. We need hope, right? And as Christians, we have hope. We have hope because Jesus rose from the dead. Right? Another song that we're going to sing in a few moments, closing song, is entitled, Because He Lives. And there's two lines in there that really stick out. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. And then it says, we can face uncertain days because He lives, right? Jesus' resurrection, folks, that gives us as Christians, it gives us hope for today, hope for tomorrow, as well as hope for all of eternity. Now, why would anyone want to live without that everlasting hope? What in this world could compare to having the hope of eternal life? Nothing. Right? The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead gives us hope. Hope that the circumstances will change. And even if they don't change, we have hope that, that no matter what happens, even if it's death, it's not the end. It's not the end. There's a better life to come. You know, for so many people, there's fear. The fear of death, isn't there? There's the fear of death. So many are afraid to die. And death seems so final to them. So unavoidable and downright scary when you think about it, right? But again, for the Christian, because Jesus didn't stay dead, because he conquered death, he rose from the grave, we have that unshakable hope. The hope of a new life to come, right? A life with no sickness, no more pain, what's that song? No more parting over there, right? And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. You know that song? And what a day that is going to be. When we're going to see Jesus with our own eyes. Right? We're going to be able to touch him with our hands. And we'll never worry. We'll never be anxious about anything again. Because we have hope in Christ. And it's not a hope like the world has. Not this hope so I'm not sure type thing. You know, the world's hope is based on good thoughts, good feelings, good intentions, all things that are uncertain. But the hope of the true child of God has as its foundation the absolute, eternal, rock-solid Word of God, right? That's a firm foundation. That's true hope. Because God has said in His Word, and because of who He is and His nature of absolute faithfulness, we believe and we trust in Him no matter what. I ran across another illustration, big illustration day today, another story that makes this point. Story about a missionary in Brazil. I like this one. It says this missionary discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle, and they lived near a large river. Lived near a large river, and the story goes that the tribe desperately needed medical attention. Some disease was going through the population. People were dying daily. There was a hospital that wasn't too far away, but in order to get there, they needed to cross the river. But therein lay the problem, because they believed that the river was inhabited by evil spirits. Right? So if you entered the water, that meant certain death. So they wouldn't cross the river. Well, the missionary, he explained how he had crossed the river. And he was unharmed, but the tribe was, they were still scared. They were still afraid. They wouldn't do it. So he took them to the bank of the river. This missionary did. And he places his hand in the water, but, splashes it around a little bit. But still, they wouldn't go in. So he walked into the water up to his waist. He splashed it all over himself, but they were still too afraid, and they wouldn't cross the river till finally he just dove in, swam to the other side. He got out of the water, and he raised his fist triumphantly in the air. And when the people saw how he had entered the water and how he had escaped to the other side, then they were filled with hope. They were filled with hope, and they let out a loud cheer, and they followed him across. And folks, that's what Jesus has done for us with death. He entered, he made it safely to the other side, and it was like he punched his fist in the air in triumph, and that gives us hope, right? But that's not all. That's not all he did. You see, Jesus didn't stay on the other side. You know what he did? He dove back in and swam back to our side. Jesus is alive. But not only that, he is present with us as his true followers. He's present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and when it's our turn to face death, he will be right there to take us by the hand, to lead us across death's threshold. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Folks, Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. It satisfied the Father's justice, but it is his resurrection that gives us the hope of eternal life. Right? Okay, the final thing that we see in the resurrection is this. It's power. It's power, right? There's power in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Is that not amazing? You stop and think about that. Isn't that just a comforting thought? The simple point that has been made here this morning over and over, and I'm going to say it again, is that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. He's Almighty God, and he is alive. And right now, with us as Christians, walking beside us, dwelling within us, he is alive. And when he rose from the grave, folks, he didn't just say, hey, later, right? You're on your own. I'm going to go back to my throne. That's not what he said. He didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. No, he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell the believers, to indwell his followers. It doesn't get any more intimate than that, right? He sent his Holy Spirit to indwell those of us who believe that he is Almighty God. And listen to this. This is so important. He indwells those who believe that he is Almighty God and that he willingly sacrificed his life on the cross to pay for your and my sins. And he indwells those who will repent. They'll turn from their sin to him. And they'll ask for and accept his free offer of forgiveness. And they will enter into a loving relationship with him by surrendering all that they are completely to him. Those are the ones that he comes to indwell. That close, intimate relationship. You know, I don't know if you're here today or maybe you've gone through this before, but you know that emptiness that maybe you felt at one time in your life, in your heart? That hole? What is that? Right? What can I fill that with? So many people try to fill it with things, possessions, fame, you name it. They try to fill that. But you know what? It's a God-shaped hole. Only God can fill that. Only he can give true satisfaction. And it's only when we trust him as Lord and Savior and completely surrender to him that he comes to indwell us, to fill that hole in our heart. And not only that, but when the Holy Spirit comes and he indwells us, and we are in his presence, right? But also with him comes his power. The power of the great God of the universe. The one who spoke the universe into creation. The one who knows everything about you and me. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves, right? This powerful God. When his Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, so does his power. And think about that. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us, his born-again followers. And according to the verse we just read, 1 Corinthians 6:14, that same power will also raise us. And you're saying, okay, great. I don't have to fear death. And by his power, God has resurrected my spiritually dead soul, and someday he's going to raise and change my physical body as well. But how should that affect me now? And I'm glad you asked that question, because we need to understand this. God wants us to experience his power more deeply. He wants us to know him, to know his power. He wants us to understand his power, that it is readily available to us, not just for salvation, to save us from our sin, but for our daily lives as well, right? By his power, we can have victory over sin in our daily lives. By God's incredible power, we can be filled to overflowing with the godly hope and the encouragement. And by his power, we can be a light. We can be a beacon to the lost world around us. As we worship, as we praise, and we adore our loving Lord and Savior. That's our purpose in life. That's why he created us, to know him, to love him, to experience his love, and then to reflect him to others around. As we live each and every moment and each and every day seeking to bring him honor and the glory that he alone deserves, we can be filled with that power. And it's my hope and prayer today, folks, this morning, that you would know him, not know of him, not just know the facts about him, that maybe you've read something in the Bible about him. He created the universe. Yeah, I know this. But to actually know him in a love relationship, that you would know the love and the life and the hope and the power of his resurrection. And really, folks, that's the simple message of our faith. Jesus is alive. Let's not forget to share that with people as well. The hope of the gospel is found in his resurrection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for the truth of your word. The fact that your word is absolute truth. Even though there are many, many in this world, in our culture, who mainly because they're just rejecting you, Lord, they'll deny that. Oh, there's no absolute truth. Yeah, there is. It's God's word. Father, we thank you so much for that. Thank you for the truth that you've told us today. And Lord, I know there are many, maybe who are listening, maybe who are here today, I don't know, but I do know that there are many who they're at a point in their life where they're trying to fill that void in their life with the things, even with people. When the truth is, you're the only one that can satisfy that. And you're the only one who can save. You've paid the penalty for our sin, Lord Jesus. Help us to understand that. But also give us the wisdom, the boldness, the courage to say, okay, Lord Jesus, you paid penalty for my sin. The least I can do is to give you my life because you have given me your all. Thank you so much. Thank you for this Easter morning that we've had and the great time of fellowship and worshiping you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.